It's time to chat some bollocks about fanny tits and bum.
No topic is off the limit for these potty mouth foul mums.
So tell us all your secrets, we like to share the truth.
About saggy tits and anal warts and ice cubes up your hoof.
No
holes barred.
Mate, before we start anything, can I just say how utterly disappointed I am that we weren't recording at the exact moment when I said, who is that behind you? Because I thought someone was crawling into your bedroom and you actually had a full shit attack.
Oh, my life.
It
was the cat licking his balls. And it honestly did look like there was someone behind me. Terrifying.
I actually cannot believe That was your response. Panic. It was like panic. You did full on jazz hands
and screamed.
Oh god!
I would be so shit in any sort of
no.
Attack.
I recognise that now. I saw it.
Remember when I said I would only last 45 seconds or 45 minutes in a zombie apocalypse? That's why. I'm too nervy. I'm very nervy. I don't take to danger very well.
No. Well, I don't. You know that whole fight or flight or freeze? Yeah. I freeze.
Yeah, I think I'm
I don't know what you did. It wasn't freeze.
It looked like I was trying to fly, but I think it was probably...
It honestly did.
I'm very flight. I think I live in a permanent state of flight, hence why I'm so anxious. I really do feel that. And that's why I can't handle anything that gives me a surge of adrenaline. I can't do. So that's why I hate doing any sort of public speaking or you know, standing in front of people and talking. I just can't. It's too much for me. The adrenaline that I release is intense.
Sounds a lot to me, Vic, like you have a dysregulated nervous system.
Fuck off.
No, but that's exactly what it is. No, it's like the dysregulation of your nervous system when you are in a permanent state of not being able to come out of that state.
Well, you know, like there's a theory that a lot of this sort of reaction to danger is passed down from your ancestors, and that it's like
it's not actually a theory. It's
it's real.
It's
fucking real.
It is a psychological corrected statement.
Correctness.
It is. It's true. Correctness. Level of correctness. So you might just be living out your cave sisters, aunties, mothers, aunties, daughters. Trauma.
Yeah, I am.
There's a lot of trauma.
Maybe
they
watched their child get mauled by a T-Rex and never came
back. Although T-Rexes weren't around when humans were around.
But, you know, or some other type of ferocious
predator.
Monster. And then that trauma
is now in me.
Is now in you.
So I thought Hendrix was a T-Rex.
Ferocious T-Rex.
Hendrix is the cat, by the way. That's his
Hendrix
name.
Hendrix is the cat. I love that name.
I let Rob name the cat because he wanted to call our kid Hendrix. I was like, fuck off. That is the most middle-class pretension I've ever heard. Sorry, apologies to anyone that's called their kid Hendrix. But
I like the name Hendrix.
He liked Hendrix or Dylan.
Dylan.
Yeah, it was a bit too bo-ho
Bob and
for
Jimmy.
Me. Yeah, Bob and Jimmy.
So who's Dylan going to be? Where is Dylan in this scenario?
Maybe if we get a dog. I'm not getting a dog.
No,
too much.
Your child is allergic to dogs.
There is that.
Minor. So
I actually feel like if we fucking threw a dog into the chaos that is my life at the moment, it would tip me over the edge. I've had a puppy before. Can't handle that shit. No way.
No, I mean, I actually think having Willow, I love her and she's a fucking legend and I adore her now, but she's three. It's taken me 3 years to not utterly detest the sheer sight of that fucking dog.
I know, because it's another child. It is another child. And that first 6 months of having them it's like having a newborn baby. They're up
and
down.
You know, when people are like, oh my God, a puppy. Even I do it. I am lulled by the sight of a puppy. I'm like, oh my God, it's a fucking puppy, Steve. And he's like, Laura, you didn't even like the puppy we had. And I'm like, I know, but I want to stroke it and love it and kiss it.
Yeah.
And then actually having my own, I'd much rather pull my pubic hair out with my teeth.
Oh dear, how's your week been then? How are you?
You know.
Oh my God, it's you doing it this time. This is exciting. What's happened? Tell me.
How's my week been? How
You've
is
got
my
fresh ink? That's one thing.
I do, yeah. Got, and it's I feather up my arm as well, but
new tattoos on her hand.
Yeah. Willow, stop. I'm sorry. That's not Darren. I don't know who that is. Willow, stop. Don't get a dog. She's three and I'm back to, no, she's a massive dick. She's still giving it. Willow, on your bed. My week has just been all right, Vic. I'm here. I'm not dead. So I think that's probably.
Oh, well, that's good. Okay. I feel positive.
I don't feel like dying either, which is definitely a positive.
That is a positive.
Especially that's with the positive. Shit show that is our government, you know. But I know. We probably shouldn't go into that, should we?
It's too much. It's just too much. I can't really process it all, really.
Are you, do you know anybody that currently likes Boris Johnson?
No. No. I don't know anyone that has ever liked him. But why is it that he's still so popular? I don't understand it.
You can sit with me as long as you fucking like and tell me about all the things that you think Boris Johnson is great for.
But I'm
and
never
you will still
you.
Not convert me over to no. your mindset.
But I do still... think, you know, a lot of the time you end up hanging around with people that kind of echo your views and your political
this is so true.
Sort of stance. Yeah. So, I think if I had a friend that was like, oh my God, I think Boris Johnson is amazing, I would really question our friendship.
Yeah. No, me
like,
too.
What? How can
I
you?
I think I would inwardly be going, well, our friendship is over. Oh God, it makes me so cross.
But to cheer you up, why don't you buy yourself a sex toy off our website? Yay!
This week we'd like to talk about the Lilo Sonnus, because we never talk about that one, do we, Vic?
Punanis aren't political.
I actually had a wonderful sex. I had a wonderful sex.
Oh my God. When you messaged me and said, I'm hanging out, I thought, what? Laura's had a drink. I thought you were hungover at first. And then you're like, I've been hanging because I've been up all night having sex.
Not all night, mate, just till late.
Yeah, all even night. That, till late. How long did this session go on for?
It probably went on for about an hour and a half.
Oh my Lord. What time did it start? I need the details of the timing mainly because I'm judging how tired I would have been.
I didn't check my phone, but it must have been around 10:49 when it started.
Oh my God, that's so late.
It was late, I know. It was just a nice time. And I use the Lilo Sonnus in sex. It's a very difficult toy to use in sex.
It is quite hard.
But my Lord...
It's good.
It's getting
the right angle because it's quite a unit, isn't it?
And it is a unit. So as long as you get the angle right with the motion.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't want to be too detailed about my sex life, but...
It's too late for that, mate.
it's quite the thing to... And I also think that if you struggle to have an orgasm through penetration, because it's such an intense feeling that you get from the Sonnus,
yeah.
It just magnifies sex, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah,
it
definitely.
Makes sex go from being, like, okay to being, like, I can guarantee that I'm going to squeal like a pig.
Poor Steve. Sex is like, you know what, sex is okay with you, mate, but actually what I need to do is just interview you to make it good.
I've basically had the best sex of my life for the last 2 years, and that's because I have a sex toy that's...
It is mad though, isn't it? It's like how it just sort of revolutionises your sex life.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, I haven't had sex again since. I'm just too tired.
Yeah, I'm fucking home now because that was on Saturday night, wasn't it? Jesus, if you had sex again, I would be furious.
I'd be furious.
Saturday
but that's the thing, like, before I had kids, if I had had that before I had kids, I probably wouldn't let Steve go to work. I'd want to have sex with him all the time. And yet... The reality is now that I do have children, it's like, okay, we've had sex now. I just need to sleep for another month.
Yeah, no, that's it, isn't it? It's like you have sex and then you're like, okay, that's another 6 months until I need to entertain that penis again.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
And that's why it's such a myth that people are having sex all the time, like couples, especially long-term couples. It's like, that is just not true at all.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't know, out of all of my friends, anyone that has sex like on a really regular basis.
No, I know one friend who does. But even then, I don't know it's that regular. But
yeah.
It's definitely, she's a lot more like experimental.
Really?
Gets the China brush out. Have you ever had a China brush?
No, what's that?
It's basically like this thing that you put on a man's penis and it makes him like super erect. It's like Viagra, but
is it a topical thing that you put on, as in like you put it on the penis, or
yeah, you physically put it on the penis.
What is it, a cream or something?
It's like a, I don't know, it's just called China Brush. I'm going to Google it and read it to
Never
you.
Never heard of it.
I know, I hadn't either. She's like, oh yeah, we get a bit of China Brush on.
Oh.
And he's away for hours. And I'm like, I definitely don't want hours. I get a chafing.
I can't be bothered.
I'm not it's lubricating literally. Enough for hours.
Not if you're starting at 10:49.
Well, I did start at 10:49 and I definitely think we finished after midnight. So
bloody hell, I would have been asleep.
That was an absolute sesh, wasn't it? That doesn't happen often.
No.
It was very arousing. China Brush. So it's an actual ointment.
It's an ointment.
Delay spray. The China Brush has a numbing... Oh, it has a numbing effect and will last... Has a lasting... Longer-lasting erection. Directions. Apply a thin layer to the glands of the penis.
Does that... I don't... Do you know what? That doesn't actually sound that good. So what?
No,
so
at least 15 to 45 minutes before intercourse. You know what? This is another good one for that couple.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I wonder
yeah.
if she's still listening.
Yeah.
There yeah, you go, hopefully. Mate. That might be worth a shot for you.
Okay, well, that's maybe one for the list of things to try out then.
Yeah. I don't want Steve to last longer.
No, I don't need one to last but longer either.
To the lady whose husband had the lazy penis, in her words, that's yeah. another thing for her to add to her list of trying.
Yeah, so it makes you erect. Does it make you erect?
Yeah, it makes you erect and it makes you last longer.
Okay. Good. There you go. Another one for
thanks
the books.
Thanks to the Chinese herbalists. How are you anyway? I've not even asked.
Yeah, I'm all right.
You sure? on a scale of 1 to 10.
Well, my children just find new ways to be dicks, basically. So I have to report, Laura, that the sleep situation has improved rather dramatically.
Yeah.
I know. It's very exciting. So we just decided to put Edith's nap back in. For lots of reasons. Her behaviour was out of control, I think, like the tantrums, just off the scale. And she just seemed knackered, to be honest. She just seemed knackered. So we put the nap back in and she's been having it at nursery. And then we've just been doing that classic thing of putting her in the car and driving around for fucking 45 minutes to get to sleep. Did you ever go through that phase, the car nap phase?
I think it was different with Toes because obviously he was like, he was a car seat baby because I was always taking, he was always on the school run.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? But also the thing with Tobes is like he would fucking sleep anywhere.
Really?
But he also wouldn't. He'd also be a cock at times, but then other times he would just literally fall asleep.
Yeah, I've never had that. I've never had that child.
Elliot wasn't like that. Elliot had to be in his bed
yeah.
for his nap. Otherwise yeah, he wouldn't sleep.
Edith hasn't had a nap in at home since we moved house because it just wasn't happening. But anyway, so we've been doing a car nap. Which is a ball ache, and I know it's terrible for the environment, but you know what? It's fucking survival, mate, and it's worked. So she's gone from going to bed at 5:30 to waking up at 5:30 with like maybe 2 wake-ups in the night. She's now doing 7 until 7.
Fuck my life. That's a game changer.
Yes, it's
you're
a game
like me
changer.
Now. You're in this, you're in a club.
You know, on Sunday, she woke up at 7:30.
Oh, Vic.
But I woke up at 4:00 and couldn't go back to sleep.
No.
That is the irony of motherhood, isn't it? Just the bitter yes. irony of like, great. And Oliver slept till 6:20. So I could have had a lie until 6:20. But no, my brain woke me up. I went for a wee and then that was it. I was just like, bala, 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 and so I couldn't go back to sleep. So yeah, so that, I mean, we've had a week of that now. So she's pretty much been, you know, she's basically waking up between 6 and 7. And fuck my life, that hour and a half difference, it makes such a difference.
Mate,
to me.
2-3 weeks ago, you were starting your day at 5:30 in the morning and at 6 a.m. having a bag of Quavers. That's huge.
So now I've just been analysing everything because obviously, you know, it was decided to not give her the nap. But what I actually think was going on with Edith now is that the difficult bedtimes, her just being like an absolute twat, trying to get her to go down, all this sort of stuff. I actually think it was more to do with her emotionally feeling like we were going to leave her because we were still trying to leave the room, even though we were coming in and out of the room and, you know, settling her and never leaving her to cry for any period of time whatsoever. We don't do that anymore. Bedtime is itchy. 2 stories. She can have a cuddle on my lap. I'm on her bed anyway. Bought a single bed. So sofa came to the single bed so that we could get in it and sleep. And then she falls asleep. And then I say, that's it now. You have to get mommy sat. You lie next to me. And her head is always on my leg. And I just stay with her until she goes to sleep. And it's so fucking chill compared to what it has been in the past.
Yeah.
And now that she's had the nap and she's not super overtired at bedtime, it's just like last time was a really nice bedtime. And all of that. I just think her and her being difficult bedtime was to do with the fact that she was just so fucking not wanting us to leave. So rather than her not needing the nap, it was more that she didn't want us to leave. But I mean, how do you know this stuff? She can't communicate to us. Working all this stuff out is like doing the krypton factor very of difficult. Parenting.
It is really difficult, but it's also like, I obviously read up a lot about flight, fucking freeze, fawn.
Yeah,
you know.
Fawn. What's that?
Fawn. No, fawn is an actual.
It is. Fawn. What's fawn then?
Fawn isn't. I'll Google it. I'll read it out in a minute. But there are lots of different states that we fall into, and it all comes back to like that primitive part of our brain that where we're thinking, "Oh my God, something bad's going to happen," even though nothing bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
And as an adult, when you would learn that, because obviously I've spent 37 years not knowing that, and now that I do, I can regulate myself better and my nervous system better. But as a child, to try and get them to recognize that that's what that is really difficult.
Yeah,
because
fine.
You're trying
she's
to get them to self-regulate, and how the fuck do you get them to self-regulate?
You can't. You have to teach them. So that's,
you have to teach them, and that's through reassurance.
Yeah.
It's just through going, I'm not going to go anywhere. You are safe. You are. You know, you're in a safe environment. I'm never going to hurt you or whatever. But you know, it's not those words. It's just the soothing tones that you use to make them feel safe and secure. I'm all for it, mate. I'm all for it.
It's basically like a psychological way to put her to manage her naps and whatever, rather than
it's so valuable.
Is a formula and this is what you do, because it just doesn't work. It doesn't fucking work for every kid. That's it.
But not only that, there is so much benefit from having a child who is self-regulating their nervous system and being able to know that they are safe and secure. Just because of the fact they have the dependency and reliability of their parents.
Yeah.
And that does go on to have massive, huge benefits in adulthood.
Oh my God, of course.
Because then they aren't growing up dysregulated. Very quickly, the trauma response, you've got fight, flight, freeze, or fawn.
Okay, I didn't know fawn. I know the other ones. What is it then?
So fawn is someone who is a people pleaser.
Okay.
Lack of identity. No boundaries, overwhelmed and codependent. Well, I am 100% living in a state of fawn. I am all of, I'm not, I'm working really hard to come out of being that in that state, but that's, I am.
You identify with that.
Yeah, I've lived my life pretty much like that all the time. Like the whole fight is anger outbursts. I don't massively have anger outbursts. Controlling a little bit, the bully, no. Narcissistic, no. Explosive behavior, no. Freeze, difficulty making decisions, stuck, disassociation, isolation and numb, okay. Isolating and numb. And then flight is workaholic, overthinker, anxiety, panic, OCD,
oh my
difficulty
God.
Sitting still, perfectionist.
That is me to fucking tear. Yeah, that's so funny.
I'm flight.
Do you reckon I'm a workaholic? I don't know about that one. I mean, it would make sense because all of my family are addicts in some capacity and my dad is a workaholic. And in some ways, I think maybe I am. I don't know.
I don't know. It's probably not the workaholic, but...
I never stop, basically.
Yeah.
Ever. There's always... I'm always doing something.
But yeah, that just goes to show that we are, you know... All different.
We are all different. Flighty, fawny, slags.
Flighty, fawny, slags. That's what we could be called. That's what we could call our tour. Can we do a tour, please,
yeah,
Vic?
I know. We need to do that.
I know you don't want to do it.
2022.
Vic's social anxiety isn't, you know, we've just, she's literally just
I don't
about,
even think, it's not even my social anxiety, but it's that flight thing. It's the adrenaline.
It's the flight.
I don't
Whereas
know how
my
cope.
Fawn is like,
done.
I want to please everybody.
I know. But I just
I
think it would
learned.
Be... It would be very different because I'd be with you. So if I was on my own, I'd be like, if someone was like, do you want to do a tour on your own? I'd be like, fucking no, I'd actually rather be dead. But doing it with you, like, because you're, you know, you'll be my security blanket.
We can be each other's security blankets.
Yeah.
In our fawning flighty.
And also, you know what, doing stage. A tour where we're like actually live in front of you, the amount of shit that we have to cut from this podcast,
because we'd have to be quite careful. Wouldn't we?
We get cancelled in 5 minutes.
We'd get cancelled. No, because you know what? This whole cancelled policy is such horseshit. Isn't it?
Hopefully it'll die.
And I'm not just saying that because of the industry that we're in. Like, genuinely, I just see this whole cancelled culture as bullshit.
Yeah.
Because how often do we cancel men? Like, really, fully cancel them.
Yeah.
And then how often do we cancel women? Like, all the time. Jameela Jamil made a very good point about it the other day. And I was like,
we do love
Jameela,
don't we?
I love Jameela.
We love her.
She's not fuckable.
Should we have some stories?
I guess so. I'm guessing you don't have a fact.
Should we actually, like, you know, record our podcast?
Should we actually do our job? It's because we've not spoken much before.
I know, it feels like that. Yeah, we've just
even though we talk every day.
Record. Yeah, I know. That's fucking ridiculous. Okay, this is a good one. All right, I've got a funny little story here about someone's first ever trip to the gynecologist. So here's my story about the first time I went to the gynecologist. I was 16. Wow, that's young, isn't it, to go to a gynecologist? You know, like in the UK, we're so shit with fanny health.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't ever see a gynecologist unless...
OBGYN.
OBGYN.
Yeah, we don't regularly... I've never gone to a gynecologist.
I only went for old Casper, didn't I? Because I was getting investigated. Fanny. Fucking Fanny. Hello, Fanny tried to charge me again for that appointment. That was how long ago? They sent me a letter saying, oh, yes, you haven't paid for your appointment. It's like, no, I fucking have, mate. Fuck off, Fanny. I paid you. I paid you on the day. Get lost.
Stick that in your minge.
Okay, I was 16 and had heavy periods, so was going to have my first check. I was nervous, of course, but the lovely lady, who's about 50 years old in a lovely grey, mumsy sort of way, told me to pop my things off and she'd be back in 2 minutes. She went round the curtain to wait. Well, I did as she said, and I took everything off. Top, jeans, knickers,
oh,
bra,
God.
Socks.
Oh, no.
I stood there nervously waiting. She came around the curtain and looked with absolute horror face and said, why are you naked? To which I replied, I don't know. Why am I naked? She obviously meant to take my trousers and knickers off. My friend still pissed himself laughing at this story to this day. I'm 32.
She was stood there as well. So she wasn't even laying on the side. Poor bitch.
What? Like,
why are you naked?
Oh, come on. God, she's 16. Bitch. It's your first. You don't know the protocol.
No.
This is the kind of shit that no one tells you about. So I think that is a perfectly acceptable mistake to make.
It is, but what an amazing one to make.
And I'm pretty sure if it pop your things off, I would interpret that as get naked.
You know what? I remember going after I'd had a car accident and the insurance shit of them having to make sure I actually had a problem with my neck. It was my neck, Vic, my fucking neck. And I had to go to a private doctor's somewhere over in like wherever it was. And I get there and I was 23, something like that. So I was wearing a tiny white G-string and an unmatching bra of some description. And I can remember it, but I have disassociated myself from the memory because it was that traumatic. It was a male doctor. And he was like, right, okay, we just need to check your neck over, blah, 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 blah. I was like, yeah. He went, okay, so I'm going to get a female chaperone in and then I need you to get down to your underwear. And I was like, sorry, what? I said, it's my upper neck. He was like, yeah, I know. I need to see how you walk. And I was like,
what? Naked?
I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. So I had to get down to my tiny thong and my bra with a female who was watching, as well as this male doctor. I had to walk on the balls of my feet. I had to walk on my tiptoes. I then had to walk with my knees bent. I then had to walk on the tips of my toes and the balls of my feet, walking like basically like a duck.
Isn't it so weird when you have to do stuff like that?
Mortified. Well, I came out of the room and Steve was like, how did it go? I was like, he got me to get undressed. He was like, but you hurt your neck. I was like, I know.
I know.
I feel abused.
And something happened to me. That's exactly the same thing happened to me when I went to a chiropractor or an osteopath once. And I was quite young, as I've always had lower back problems. And it was like a training osteopath school thing. So it was cheaper. But what it meant is that you had to have like 4 students in the room that were all watching you. And the guy was like, you need to take all your clothes off because we need to like look at, again, watch you walking. And then also like bending over and doing sort of...
Yes, I had to bend over as well. Yeah. That's right.
But when I had that, I mean, I was kind of like, okay, fine, whatever. But what was so weird and creepy was that I was like lying down and I had a pair of knickers on that had a label on them that was like Katie Price knickers or something. Yeah. And he fucking commented on the fact that it was like, oh, Katie Price knickers, eh? So that is not appropriate.
That's not appropriate.
Comment on my knickers when I'm naked in a room of like 4 people with clipboards or watching me fucking do the chicken.
It is. That's exactly what it feels like. You're doing the funky chicken. And it is horrifying.
It's absolutely horrifying.
So this is the only other thing about a medical appointment. You have absolutely no idea what to be prepared for. Now I just go in, I've just full on Yeti. Like I wear as many layers as I can.
Yeah.
Just to be prepared that if they want me to take one layer off, I have 4.
You've got like a tank top
and I've got an additional.
Yeah. A fucking
and
tank top.
I mean, small.
What is this?
1999? Small shorts. I don't know. Tank top. Tank tops are so back in, aren't they?
I wear a vest every day. But not like a, I'm wearing my little
like a sports bra. Vest.
No, like a vest like this.
Underneath. Oh, like a strappy top?
Yeah, like a strappy top. I have that on every day.
My friend Vicky, she has yet to not wear a vest in anything. And she'll be like, oh God, I'm so fucking hot. It's like, mate, that's because you've got a fucking vest on.
Only in winter. I don't do it in the summer.
Oh, no, she does it throughout.
It's cray-cray
Vicky,
talk.
Shout out to Vicky and her vest obsession.
Hit me with a story. Hit me with a story.
Right. About 8 years ago, with my now ex-partner, we decided to have a play with a small new bullet. After about 5 minutes of him rubbing it around my clit, we hear a pop and I gasp. I look up to see him as white as a ghost. I ask what he's doing, what happened, and his reply is, you must not have tightened it when you put the battery in.
Oh, no.
It came off. And has just gone inside with the battery as well.
Oh my God, I'd be so scared.
He was holding the end part. So it
unscrewed. Oh my God.
And like a fucking Hoover, she sucked it up. After what felt like a lifetime of trying ourselves to get it out, we decided it was time to go over to the hospital. Finally, we get to the hospital. I explained to the lady at the desk that the problem I have was that I had a part of a sex toy stuck inside me. After a good wait, a lovely nurse suddenly pops her head around the curtain and says my name and says, are you the lady with, hold on, looks down and reads the notes. A small child toy, i.g. like a Happy Meal toy stuck in your vagina.
Who fucking wrote that?
I can honestly say I have never laughed and cried so much in embarrassment in my whole life. I have no idea what the receptionist lady heard, but she definitely didn't hear what the problem was. To end, it had apparently gone in with some force, so it was sent. So I was sent up to the gyno. There you go, another where 2 lovely doctors forceped me open to remove parts along with a massive, oh my God.
Massive what?
A massive laugh at my notes from
staff. Oh, thank God.
It had been passed the night, that had been passed to that night. I've never touched a bullet since. Oh
shit,
my God.
We're not supposed to put them inside you at all, though, are you?
Well, obviously, I don't think he meant to put it inside her.
Right, it just got sucked into the vacuum of vag.
Yeah. No, that's quite a vacuum. I almost want to meet a vagina.
I would have thought the battery, I mean, that would have really have scared me because, like, you know, you hear all those horror stories about kids swallowing batteries and
they
shit.
Die.
And
they,
yeah.
I know the kid who did swallow one and he did and he died. It was really bad.
He died?
No, he nearly died. Right. Obviously, I didn't, you know.
But it's a bit different, though, because if you swallow it, then the battery's going into your stomach acid. So, you know.
The battery's probably, it's going into your vagina acid.
Yeah, I know, but it's not as potent as your, because it's not like your vagina acid is going to melt food, is it?
No. You don't know. Have you ever put food out there?
No. Don't try that at home. That's how we end up in hospital. Well, so why have you got this cucumber shoved up your vagina? I was just testing the vagina acid to erode it. Scientific experiment. Yeah, that's very unfortunate and also terrifying. And I bet, yeah, just that would scar you, wouldn't it? You wouldn't want to go near a bullet.
It's like it had to be forceps out.
Oh, forceps. I've never had forceps before. Oh, yeah.
Me neither, no.
Speculum is one thing, but forceps is like, that's going in for the salad tongue vibes.
It is a salad tongue.
Oh, what?
No wonder that's her ex-partner.
I don't even, when the thing about forceps, it's like just looking at them, how the fuck do they even go in without doing loads of damage?
You know what? They do.
Yeah, I know. I know anyone that has had them giving birth.
In one, to explain, I don't think that you ever leave that and go, oh, yeah, no worries. That's fine. I'm just going to walk out of it. Absolutely no issues whatsoever. Don't think that happens.
Okay, I've got a good one. I've got one more story. Should we fuck off an agony aunt this week and we'll just do another story? Okay. So this one time, me and my partner were at home and my mum decided to pop round. I went upstairs to get something and we started to get a little bit carried away being alone in our bedroom as our daughter was only a few months old and as time together was rare. So basically the mum's come round, she's got the baby, they've gone upstairs, they're getting it on.
I hope the mum isn't in the house.
Yeah, we'll wait for it. She is. We thought sod it, we'll be quick, and cracked on bonking away in our room whilst my mum was downstairs watching telly with our daughter having a brew. I went downstairs afterwards and my mum gave me the filthiest look before saying, you really should check the monitors. And she walked out. So the baby monitor was on. So my mum's just witnessed the entire thing. I was gobsmacked. I wanted a big black hole to swallow me whole in that moment. Me and my partner are absolutely mortified and still are to this day. My mum brings it up every now and again, making a joke of the situation, but me and my partner just cringe. Safe to say, we'd never have sex if we want anyone else in the house.
That, you know what? That's not something you bring back up. You just have to, you need as a good parent to just let that go.
What, not even say anything when they come downstairs?
I don't even know if I've got any words. Huh. I don't even know how to answer.
I've had it when we've had the monitor on and it's been downstairs, but luckily the volume was turned off.
With your mum in the house?
No, we had other people around. And I was like, I wanted them to go. And I was just like sick of them. And went upstairs and made welcome upstairs and then was like, just fucking get them to leave. Like, and the monitor was on, but thank God the volume was off. But then I suddenly had this.
You were having sex.
No,
I was like,
fucking sex when people are around.
No
way.
No,
I couldn't relax. Maybe people have a thrill of that stuff, but not for me.
No, it almost is to me. It's very like keys in a fishbowl vibe. Obviously not for her, not with her mum. I definitely don't think that, but. Jesus Christ, the last thing I would be thinking with my mum and my two-month-old baby downstairs is, I want to have sex with you right now and I don't care.
Yeah, but it's so funny, is it? Because
I must be so fucking ruined.
But people after kids, people's sex drive is really, it can be anything. You can be really, really fucking super horny because of all your hormones being
I was not.
Insane. Or you can be the opposite and just be like, no way is dick coming near me ever again.
That's basically how I was on
that
side.
But no, I wasn't that way so much with Oliver, but with definitely with Edith.
With both the boys, I was just, it was so far down the list.
Yeah. Well, it took a year for us to have sex after Edith, which is a long time.
I think it was probably, no, it was. We had sex really quickly after we had Elliot. But I think it was more because I just felt like I needed to get it out of the way because I was so fucking terrified that everything would fall out of my body. So it wasn't, it just felt like, it wasn't like I had to do it because Steve made me feel like I had to do it. It's more like I was like, I just need to fucking get this done so I know that I'm not going to die.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. And also I think the expectation of like, well, if we have sex and it means that our relationship's healthy. Do you know what I mean?
Too. Again, because we were so young as well, like 26.
I think first sex after birth stories would be really funny.
Yeah.
I bet people have got funny ones for that.
And also probably I would love to have a story of someone who had sex like literally a day kid was born.
My midwife friend said that she's walked in on so many couples having sex like almost immediately after the baby's been delivered. Yeah, honestly, that blows my mind.
That really blows my mind.
Like, I mean, the state of my minge, like even a matchstick
sore.
Yeah, just that would have been offensive to me.
I think sore is a really appropriate word.
It's so sore. How
your vagina feels.
And also very, very, very bloated. Like it's so swollen, isn't it?
Yeah.
From just the trauma of getting the head out and all the pushing and all the extra blood.
I get
everything.
It because you're so like in that moment, like after I had had the boys, I was just like, oh my God, like we made this. I love you so much. Look, we made this.
Euphoric, yeah.
It is euphoric because you, and also like there's this real like element of like, I am a superwoman. Look what I've just done.
Yeah, not for everyone though, but that's definitely, I think some people are like, oh my God. I feel like I died.
Well, everybody's seeing the picture. Well, most people see the picture of me after I had Elliot. I did look like I had died. Genuinely. And Steve looked terrified. There was nothing about any of that scenario that made Steve go, I want to have sex with you right now.
I did. I remember lying in bed with Rob after, because I had the home birth. So I was like straight back in my bed with Rob and the baby, the first, and with Edith. But I can remember looking at him and having this like, huge, like overwhelming desire to have sex with him, but just being like, mate, the vagina ain't, that's not happening. There's no way it's happening. I was like really attracted to him and felt like so in love with him. But I was thinking it was just because I was off my tits on loads of oxytocin that my body.
I lost so much blood with Elliot. So I don't, but I was in labor for like 36 hours with Elliot. So I was fucking done.
Mm.
But the bed was just fucking covered in blood.
Yeah,
like literally,
the period is so massively like it's like a tidal wave of
it
just
is
crimson uterine lining. It's
and like
mental.
When I had Toby was much quicker, and he had shit all down my tits, so that was nice. And then
standard,
yeah. So he was like, we did skin to skin as soon as he was born, and he just stayed there for hours, and then it was time for me to get up and have a shower. And I got up and just blood started pouring out of me.
Yeah.
And Steve was there with a towel, just mopping it all up off the floor as I went along. Again, I don't believe there is anything about that made
a turn
Steve on? Go, I want a piece of you right now. And like, he was so good about it. So I was like, oh God, I'm so sorry. He was like, it's all right, don't worry. It's no drama. And he's like sweeping it along the floor as I go, like trying to keep my dignity. He's like, it's all right, no one else is here. It's just me and you. Don't worry about it. Shit down my tits. And he's mopping up my fucking blood as I walk along the floor.
Sexy.
I know.
Everything about you.
And then
so
I got in the
sexy.
Shower. And he was probably looking at me with my empty sack of a tummy and my saggy, shitty tits and went, what a state.
Oh, it's so funny, your tummy afterwards as well, isn't it? It's like it's
like
just like this
empty
big
bag.
Globule of flesh. Yeah. So strange.
I don't think I never really anticipated that bit.
Yeah.
Because it is, it's weird. It's just like an empty jelly
it's
belly,
a
blancmange, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's not like when you gain weight and you've got a bit of an extra tummy.
No, it's just
empty, like an empty sack.
It's so weird.
And it just kind of sags there, doesn't it? Because obviously your uterus is going, oh my God, there's nothing in here anymore.
I'm shrinking.
Yeah. It's just such a weird experience.
The whole thing, very surreal.
Yeah.
Can I say
what?
My book is out? I think I can because I'm going to announce it on Thursday.
Oh my God.
So I can say it. Well, Laura, this leads absolutely perfectly into a very exciting announcement that, I mean, obviously it's no news to you because you've known about it for the last year and a half.
What is it, Vic? What is it? I don't know what you're talking about.
I have written a book.
Yeah! An amazing book that is absolutely going to be a number one bestseller.
And it is called Welcome to Motherhood, Bitches. And what we've just been talking about, it forms a huge part of the book. It's about pregnancy, birth, and the postpartum period, and all that entails. But it's kind of more about the stuff that no one prepares you for, no one tells you about. And it's actually a very practical guide, Laura. It's not really the huge amount about me. It's I've tried to sort of give you an antenatal book that's got facts,
that.
facts galore. So even though I've been lacking on the facts of the podcast, it's because all my facts making, taking, researching has been done for my book. So, you know,
we forgive you.
There's only so many facts I can research.
And there's only so many facts that your beautiful brain can hold.
That's it. That is it. So yeah, it's available for pre-order now.
When does it come out though, Vic?
It comes out at the end of February next year.
Yeah!
So it's really, oh God, I mean, how many times have I wanted to talk about it on here? Obviously, we have talked about it a lot because you've been there for the whole process. And
you've done amazing. I'm so proud of you. Oh, I do mean that as well. I'm so proud of you, Vic.
Writing a book, Laura, you will agree, it is like giving birth, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very intense.
So intense. Process.
And I don't think a lot of people talk about it, actually. I think, especially when you're touching on things that are really personal. When I think about the first book that I wrote, the only fucking book I've written, obviously. It just felt, I don't know, it's just a really weird experience because it's like the anticipation of waiting for someone else to tell you that it's good.
All right. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's like,
because you've never done it before.
No, I know.
So it's very intense.
Like, so I have been writing it for a really long time. My publisher, HarperCollins, I think they had hoped that I would just smash it out in like, you know, a few months or something. Wrong, because not only have I been writing a fucking book, I've also moved house.
Gone through a pandemic.
Yeah, pandemic vibes. And also had a child who just hasn't slept for nine months. So it's been such a massive challenge. And I'm so fucking proud. I'm really proud of it. I'm really proud of it. And I can't wait for people to read it. And I hope that it's just like a really practical guide for expectant mums, new mums.
All the stuff that nobody talks about. And it's also really nice that you're talking about writing a book from a really realistic point of view, because I think a lot of the time when we see authors and they go, I've written a book and they've got a family and they're running a life, and you just think, you know, well, how the fuck are you doing that? But actually you're giving a, once again, very unfiltered, realistic view of what life looks like to just be a normal person trying to make a career as an author. Yeah. And that's, you know, like, that's actually a completely wholesome thing to be able to hear.
Oh, thanks, darling. I'm so wholesome.
So wholesome.
So it's pregnancy and then it's the birth. The birth covers about three chapters. It's really extensive about all the different phases and stages of labour.
That's amazing.
And then there's lots of like helpful little bits in there, like, for example, things that you can do. These are sort of like natural, what would they be? Like when you're waiting for the baby, there's things that you can do that are apparently supposed to help labour come along. So like all like natural shit, like drinking the raspberry leaf tea, blah, 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 blah. There's a very funny bit in there about perineum massage as well. Don't know if anyone's partaked in that. I did once. That story's in there. And then there's the aftermath. So there's like the physical aftermath, the emotional aftermath. And then I go on to talk about sleep. Ha ha. Oh, the irony of not having had any myself. Body confidence after having a baby, the first time you have sex after a baby, which is what we were literally just talking about. That's a whole chapter. That's called preparing to penetrate your blubbery blowhole, something like that.
Love that. Blubbery blowhole. That's exactly what mine feels like now, and I gave birth 6 years ago.
And then I think one of my favorite chapters actually is about the loneliness of motherhood, being marooned on the Isle of Motherhood, and just how unexpected that was for me, but also for a lot of women. And that's kind of, again, it's like, it is my own experience, but I'd say that the majority of it isn't. It's like talking about motherhood as the universal experience that a lot of women will experience these things. And that's sort of then supported by research and facts and figures and things like that, alongside very practical advice of how to cope with all these the myriad of experiences of motherhood.
Personally think that book would make a fantastic Mother's Day gift for an expectant mother.
Oh,
or
yes.
Even a wonderful book for a baby shower.
Oh, yes, it definitely would. It definitely would.
Just a couple of gift ideas for anybody who knows that there are children soon to be birthed onto this
glorious planet.
And also it's also had everything's been checked, like from a medical perspective. So we've had a midwife consultant on it, a breastfeeding consultant on it, and a sleep expert. So yeah, I feel like, you know, it's been thoroughly checked. All the T's have been crossed and the I's have been dotted, and it is now in the world. And it's absolutely fucking terrifying. But this point, when we come to record next week, I probably would have only sold about 3 books. So we'll look forward to that.
No, you won't have done. You don't recognise your greatness.
Oh, thanks.
You never do. You are amazing. I'm always in awe of what you do, because whatever you do, you always do it so, so incredibly well. But it's the perfectionism in you that doesn't allow you to recognise it. But you are. No. You're amazing. I'm, you know, I adore you.
Oh, I adore you too, Nora. Light of my life. The feeling is mutual. The feeling is mutual.
Always.
So yeah, go buy it along, you know. Maybe you could send it as a gift with a sex toy as well.
Which you could get on our website, currently at $59.99, and that is a Sona Lilo.
Whoa. Oh, Laura, anyway, we need to put our books on the website, on our website.
Oh yeah, we should.
We can just put a little Amazon link to it.
Yeah.
Do that, sort that out. So yeah, that's just really massive news. And I feel quite nervous, but I'm sure it'll be fine.
I think that's a very normal, natural response. Yeah, I remember the day that mine, it's a learning curve, mate. The day that mine came out, I felt fucking sick.
I remember.
You say about like phone bans and everything. I mean, the vast majority of the pandemic, my children basically saw me sitting on my phone the entire time.
Yeah.
Because that's all I ever wanted to do. But the day that my book came out, it was, when it was physically released, that was, yeah, I mean, we redecorated the living room. That's how great I felt about the whole situation.
It's just really abstract, isn't it?
It is, and it's very hard to explain to people the terror of rejection.
Unlike anything else as well. Like, I don't know, it's different. I think social media is so, what's the word? Transient. Like, it's just on the move all the time. So anything that you put out, like, it only really lives for 24 hours, really, doesn't it? Whereas a book, on the other hand, is like, fucking, that is, it just feels like it's for eternity.
It is for eternity. And it's like, strange. In 20 years' time, you can look back and go, I did that. Like, look at what I did. I'm an author. Yeah. You know, people can say whatever the fuck they like about you, but they can't take those kinds of titles away from you. And you feel like a bit of a dick for even saying it. But you know what? We should be proud of ourselves. There's a lot of people that wouldn't be able to write a book.
No. I didn't think I could. I really.
Nor would
didn't
they be able to make it a Sunday Times bestseller like yours is going to be.
No, it's not. Yours is a Sunday Times bestseller.
Yeah, so why won't yours be?
Because I don't think that it will do as well.
Well, I think that's ridiculous. I said it from the get-go. I said it will be a Sunday Times bestseller. Now prove her wrong and me right, guys. Go buy it. Even if you don't have a vagina or a penis, go fucking buy it, or I'll come and hunt you down and slap you.
Slap you.
With my vagina.
With my slug lips.
With my slug lips, yeah.
So yeah. Well, there we go. That's out on the air now. Everyone knows about my dirty little secrets. And I suppose that's it. It brings us to the end of the podcast as well, doesn't it?
What a beautiful end.
Well, Michelle.
Yeah. I said to you, I need to be away before 11. I know, shit. It's 9.
Okay.
I got here late, so that's my fault.
We're going to do it. We're doing it. We're wrapping up. Yeah. So if you would like to send us any stories, we would actually really love to have your stories about your first time having sex after having a baby.
I'd love that.
If you've got
any
funny stories about that, send those in. We'll put it on Instagram.
If it's not a funny story, I would really love you to tell me how long, or just, I don't know. It's like, do we need a
time?
A poll wouldn't work, wouldn't it? We just need to know, like,
yeah, you
how
can do
long
like options on there. You can do, I think,
one day.
You?
Yeah, but then it could be 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day.
No,
five
do
months.
Like, I'd go a day, a week, a month, a year, 6 months, a year, something like that.
Yeah, we'll it would it. Be really interesting to get that.
Yeah,
because I think a lot of women, when they haven't had sex for like a year, especially, I think a lot of breastfeeding mums as well don't always feel, you know, as lubricated down there because of breastfeeding, and it doesn't
progesterone, which is produce that in abundance when you're breastfeeding, can make you better on the dry side. Is that that's in the book?
Old statistics, Sally over there.
And also, like, because when you have sex and you can release oxytocin and, you know, serotonin, you'll have a letdown, like I did, and my tits were just milk, like just flowing with milk when I was having sex.
Yeah.
Fun times.
That just sounds so beautiful.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Isn't being a woman glorious?
It's so glorious. So if you want to send us those stories, you can email us at noholesbarredpodcast@gmail.com, or what else can they do, Laura?
They can go on over to our Instagram account at noholesbarredpodcast and go to our DMs.
And as always, the shop is available on the internet at any time of the day. If you do want to go and purchase something, we would be forever grateful.
And that is www.noholesbarredpodcast.com.
Have a lovely holiday.
Thank you. Because that's officially out of the atmosphere. That will have been done.
Yeah, it would have been done.
We have gone to Lapland and we have come back.
How exciting. Have a lovely time.
Thank you. Love you.
Watch out on that sleigh thing. Film it. Film it.
How am I going to film that and also dog sled?
Dog sled and also stop your children from having a nervous breakdown.
It's a challenge. I might just get some masking tape. Masking tape my phone to my jacket. What's the worst that could happen?
We want it POV of your face. You need POV. To get like a headband.
Right. Love you. See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
Thank you and good night.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.